بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمده و نصلی علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم والذین آمنوا اشد حبا للہ صدق اللہ العظیم My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver Inshallah tonight we will discuss one of the wa'az of Hazrat Mawlana Zulfiqar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum And he has commenced this bayan of his with the verse which I have recited, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ We hear this very often from all our mashayikh. And the meaning of this verse, those who have iman, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ They are overflowing in the love for Allah. The love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than the love they have for anything else they have in this world. The love of Allah Ta'ala is dominant. It is more in their hearts than the love for anything else. The signs of the believers. Now these are the words of our mashayikh and we will read as they have mentioned it. He says the signs of the believers. Allah Ta'ala gives clear signs in the Holy Quran as to the qualifications of a believer and the subsequent reward. So what are the signs of a believer and what's the reward of that? وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ And for such as had entertained the fear of standing before their Rabb's tribunal and had restrained their soul from lower desires, so those people who feared, the one who fears, they're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. We will be in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a judge. So the person will be standing before Allah Rabbul Izzat. Now he fears that reckoning. He fears the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah ta'ala is going to question him. And he has to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's such a place and in front of that Zaat who is most powerful and who has knowledge of every single thing, one cannot conceal and hide anything from Allah Rabbul Izzat. So just the mere thought that standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how am I going to account for my sins, for my wrongs? So this fear that comes into the person, وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ And he restrains his nafs from lower desires, from base desires. So this is the sign of a believer. And what is his reward? فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ The abode will be paradise. جَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ That will be the abode. So there are two roads that one can take to save oneself from sin. There are two paths one can take to save himself, to restrain himself from sin. One is the road of love, muhabbat, hub, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other one is of fear. Person has khawf. So we recited two verses. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ Those who are believers, what is the sign that they are believers? The love for Allah Ta'ala is intense. The love of Allah Ta'ala is not just intense, it is overflowing. Ashad in Arabic means more severe, greater. So the love they have for Allah Rabbul Izzat is greater than the love they have for anything else. So that's one sign. The second sign, they have fear for standing before Allah Rabbul Izzat. So there are two roads that a person can adopt to save himself from sin. The one is the road of love, and the other one is of fear. One either loves the Creator so much that opposing Him through sin seems unimaginable. So the one road is the love that he has for Allah Rabbul Izzat. He loves Allah Ta'ala so much, that just the thought of opposing Allah Ta'ala. So as to say, of course, we cannot hurt Allah Rabbul Izzat in any way. Allah is free from all that. So if a person has a beloved, he will make sure he does not hurt that beloved. He will not anger that beloved. He will not upset that beloved. So here, a person who adopts this road of love of Allah Rabbul Izzat, he will not oppose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way by committing sin, by disobeying Allah Rabbul Izzat. It is unimaginable. And the other road of fears him, so that one trembles at the thought of being held answerable in the day of judgment. So the other road is the road that a person has he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now because he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will restrain himself from sin. Both these paths serve as effective deterrents to sin. Both these paths serve as effective deterrents to sin. Two steps to paradise. Two simple steps to Jannat. A wise sage used to say that paradise was but a distance of just two steps. One of his disciples, his students asked him, what does he mean by that? He said, if you put one foot on your nafs, you place your one foot on your nafs, then surely your next step will be into paradise. So that is the whole effort, destroying the nafs, placing your foot and applying pressure upon your nafs, opposing your nafs. Controlling the nafs is the key to success. And this is what we learn in tasawuf, what we learn from Quran and Hadith, that a person falls into sin, and how do we come out of the sin? How do we protect ourselves from the sin? Two roads. One is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the very intense and immense love he has for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is most dominant in his life. And the other one is the fear that he has of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So controlling the nafs is the key to success and happiness in both the worlds. A person who controls his nafs in this world, then Allah Ta'ala will give him success in this world. He'll get a life of sukoon and chain. And of course, in the akhirat he'll be blessed. So Hazrat Maulana Zulfiqar Sahib says, destroying the nafs, we talk about destroying the nafs, annihilating the nafs. He says, destroying the nafs does not mean killing it as one might kill an animal. When you talk about destroying the nafs, we're not destroying the nafs as we kill an animal, but rather destroying the love of self that exists within every human being. Instead of being governed by one's nafs, personal likes and dislikes have to be destroyed so that they are replaced by those governed by the Sharia. So a person has to oppose his nafs. He has to fight his nafs. He has to control his nafs. He has to destroy his nafs. He has to kill his nafs. And the likes and dislikes of the nafs is not something that he is going to be bothered about. It's going to be what Shariat likes. So such specific training of the nafs. How do we kill the nafs? How do we control the nafs? And how do we destroy the nafs? Such specific training. It requires training. Such specific training of the nafs is only begotten through continuous remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person remembers Allah Rabbul Izzat, then immediately he will realize that I cannot anger Allah, I cannot disobey Allah, and he will refrain himself, and he will restrain himself from that sin. And the company of the righteous and the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awliya. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of sitting in their company and benefiting from them. Only after love of the self, the nafs, is destroyed, in the training of such righteous people, does an individual emerge who is compliant with the Sharia. We want to follow the Sharia. We want to abide by the Sharia. We want to do exactly in everything what Allah and His Rasul are pleased with. And then we will have to sit by the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go through this rigid program, this tarbiyah, this entire exercise of mujahada and tarbiyah and tazkiyah. There is no other way out. Otherwise, how is a person going to control his nafs? How is he going to fight his nafs? The moment we divorce ourselves from the company, then immediately we feel sick. We feel miserable. We feel something is missing in our lives. Don't make dhikr for 1 or 2 weeks, Allah Ta'ala save us. And see what happens. Person feels so wretched, so miserable. He feels uneasy. He doesn't feel comfortable at all. So a person has to make abundant dhikrullah, and he has to be in the training, in the company of these ahlullah, the true friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will make him go through this training of the nafs. The most fortunate person, Hazrat Maulana Zulfiqar Sahib says, the blessed company and insight of the awliya is so potent, the blessed company and the insight of the friends of Allah is so potent, that it completely changes a person's heart, and consequently, the person's direction of life. And we have all seen this. The person is moving in the opposite direction, totally against Allah Rabbul Izzat's commandments. There's no deen in his lives. and he gets into contact with a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he sits in his company, and after a period of time, the whole direction of his life changes completely. Hence, the person who can find such blessed company in these times is indeed most fortunate. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is found, Hazrat Mawlana Ghulam Habib rahmatullahi was the Shaykh of Hazrat Mawlana Zulfiqar Sahib. And of course, this we have heard from most of our Mashaykh, Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, used to mention also. He used to say that if a person, they used to say that vegetables are found and vegetable sellers. If a person wants vegetable, he'll go to the market and go to the person who is selling vegetables. Meat at meat sellers. Clothes from those who are selling clothing. Likewise, Allah is found by sitting in the company of the friends of Allah. Allah is found in the company of those who are the awliya Allah. Those who are always connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gatherings that remember and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they attract the love and special blessings from the arsh of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Those gatherings in which the dhikr of Allah is taking place, with dini talks that have been taking place, then what happens? It attracts the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It attracts the special blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as they impact the heart, a person's direction in life changes from this false world to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is such tremendous blessing in the company of the friends of Allah that a person's heart and direction changes in mere moments. But of course, Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Rahmatullah Ali used to always say that you sit with the right and correct intention. If your intention is there, try and find out faults from the speaker or look at the next person and see, well, this applies to him, not to me, and you're sitting for any other reason, then you are not going to get this direction in life. You're not going to get the qurb of Allah Rabbul Izzat. You're not going to get the ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he used to say that one should not have sit with a cataract and our sinuses should not be clogged. If that's going to be the case, then whatever the person is saying is not going to affect our hearts. The easy path to Allah Ta'ala's love. Allah Ta'ala's love is attracted to gatherings of those who remember Him. So there's a gathering, remembering Allah Rabbul Izzat, so automatically Allah Ta'ala's love also descends. And to those, so Allah's love is attracted to gatherings of those who remember Him and to those who love and obey Him. Consequently, the path to Allah Ta'ala's love becomes an easy road to travel if one comes in the company of and spends his life in the service of those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the friends of Allah. One forges an easy path to attain the love of Allah Rabbul Izzat in the service of such righteous people. May Allah Ta'ala make us in the company of such friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala make us pious. May Allah Ta'ala help us to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These refer to those friends of Allah Rabbul Izzat, the true awliya Allah. So one finds an easy path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just by merely sitting in the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In contrast to someone who is not attached to the awliya in some way. Those who are not attached, not connected to any friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the path to Allah now becomes difficult for him. Just as we mentioned, you want vegetables, you got to go to the vegetable seller. You want meat, you go to the meat seller. You want mitai, you go to the one who's selling mitai. You want clothes, then you got to go to the person who's selling clothes. You want Allah, you have to go to the one who has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. Otherwise, that path towards Allah ta'ala becomes very, very difficult. Recognition of the awliya. The awliya have been defined thus. When these people are seen, Allah is remembered. The hadith of Rasulullah which we mentioned before. إِذَا رُؤُوا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ. When these friends of Allah are seen, then immediately a person, when he looks at that person, immediately he's reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire existence and purpose is focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hence the following verse describes them perfectly. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say truly, my prayer, my sacrifice, my life, my death are all for Allah, the cherisher of the worlds. So these friends of Allah, the salat, the hajj, the qurbani, the ibadat, the living in this world, the dying in this world, everything is only connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eyes of the soul open in the blessed presence of the awliya. He has given a couplet which has been translated. He said, open the eyes of your inner soul. Open the eyes of your inner soul. Life's real purpose is not play. Open the eyes of your inner soul. Life's real purpose is not play. In solitude, call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your inner soul will speak true. Open the eyes of your inner soul. This world is but amusement. A false attraction of but a few days. Weigh against a pair of scales. Open the eyes of your inner soul. So this eyes of the batin, the qalb, that has to open. Our physical eyes will be open. We see everything around us, but we take no heed. And when you come into the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then as the person mentions some nasihat, some advices, then the inner eye, it begins to open. And now you see the effects of many things and the harms of many things we indulge in. And the person realizes that this life is only a few days. It's just play and amusement. The real life is the hereafter. People need to detach themselves from this life's false and misleading attractions. Because all is reduced to the same dust in the end. This entire dunya comes crumbling into pieces. It becomes dust again. The greatest and most prominent people who have walked the earth have all met with the same end. Where upon their death, they were lowered into a cramped earthen tomb for insects to devour their bodies. Those yet living must take heed and learn a valuable lesson from this while there is still time. They must be firm and willing in the desire to seek forgiveness for their past mistakes and start anew. And this is the lesson we learn, that we have seen thousands of people, we have attended so many janazas, we have lowered people ourselves in the qabr, and we know now this is the end of that person as far as dunya is concerned, and now he's moving to his permanent abode in the hereafter. But still we don't take heed. So if you want to take heed and take a valuable lesson, now we must be firm and willing to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our past. Allah ta'ala is so merciful, so merciful, so merciful. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to forgive a person, then no matter what sin he has committed, as long as he is sincere to Allah, we are the slaves of Allah. Allah is our master. We are not answerable to any other person but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith of Rasulullah says, يبن آدم أمان لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا. If you bring a whole world, can we imagine a whole world? Not just one room full of sins. Not just one town full of sins. Not just a country or a continent. The entire globe, the whole world. Every single place is filled with sins and sins and sins and sins. And you bring that and present to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Condition, لا تشرك بي شيئا. That you don't associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You believe firmly in the oneness of Allah. You have iman. So even though you brought so much of sins, whole world, بقراب الأرض خطايا. The world is full of sins and you present that to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And you are sincere in your tawbah. Oh my Allah, you forgive me. This is what I have brought. Like a child who's got written exams. And he's only got red rings. Everything he's got, he's failed. The person has iman. And he brings so much of sins. And he asks for forgiveness. And he's sincere. And he feels ashamed of having committed those sins. He feels that remorse and regret. And he has broken away from those sins that he was committing. Whatever it may be. And now he is sincere. He cries. And he makes a firm pledge, oh my Allah, you forgive me. I will never go back to those sins. Allah says, I will meet him now, بِقُرَابِ الْأَرْضِ مَغْفِرًا. The whole world full of maghfirat, forgiveness, 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 forgiveness. And nobody can question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this applies to us every single day of our life. We all slip, we all make mistakes. Shaitan is so cunning. I'm just digressing, I'm explaining what Hazrat Mawlana Zulfiqar Sahib has mentioned. Shaitan is so cunning, he's so shrewd, he's so cruel. He makes a person who goes into sins, and he just goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, until he lives a life of misery, a very morbid life, a sick life, and Shaitan now makes him feel that this is your end. Makes him lose all hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan knows that this person only has to turn to Allah. Just 1 second sincerely. And Allah will forgive all his past sins. Shaitan will make him feel so miserable. And bring such thoughts into his mind and his heart that for you the doors of Tawbah is closed. You too grave a sinner. You're a very big gunegar. Impossible Allah will forgive you. You rather just continue this life of drugs, women, whining, dining, and carry on in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we just need to turn just one degree towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sincerely and repent. And Allah forgives every single sin we committed. لا يسألوا عما يفعل وهم يسألون. Nobody can question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does as He pleases. He's Al-Ghafoor. He's most forgiving, most merciful. So turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not be bothered what my friends will say. Do not be bothered what my family members will say. What society will say. Because society, your family and friends cannot come to your rescue on the day of Qiyamah. It is just you and your Allah. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ what we explained in the beginning. So people need to detach themselves from this life's false and misleading attractions. So those yet living, they must take heed from this and learn a valuable lesson. That whilst you still have life, it's still time to make sincere tawbah of our past. And we start a fresh life. Now this fresh life must not be a life of ma'asiyat and sin. It must be a life which is clean and pure. A life which is free from sins. However, if we do slip again, and we do get overpowered by nafs and shaitan, then immediately make tawbah istighfar again. It continues in this way, right till we leave this world successful. So a major benefit of keeping the company of the friends of Allah is that love for this world decreases from the heart, whereas love for Allah and the righteous people increases. When you sit in the company of the friends of Allah, love for dunya will decrease. It's impossible. You sit in the company of the friends of Allah and now you feel more inclined towards dunya. Impossible. The love for dunya now decreases. While sitting, we make some calculations. You know what? I need to give so much now in zakat. I need to give so much in charity. I need to now help the poor. I need to help the needy. I need to live a more simpler life. All these thoughts will come to the person. I'm wasting my time in dunya all the time. I need to attach myself more towards Quran, towards hadith, towards sunnah, towards righteous people. So this is what happened. This is one benefit of sitting in the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the love for the world decreases in the heart, while the love for Allah ta'ala increases in his heart. Love for Allah is the key to success. If you look at all of our, the things that we find ourselves involved in, the sin, the ma'asiyat, and we ask ourselves, what's wrong, what's missing in my life? And the bottom line is that we lack in true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have the real muhabbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a little bit. We don't have true and genuine muhabbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we had true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be so enjoyable to us. And a person will make sure that he does not slip. He does not commit any sin. So love for Allah is the key to success that pushes the person towards righteousness. A man who loves Allah, automatically when he comes to the masjid, he will look for time, still time, he will perform his, if it's not yet time for Jamaat, he has ready sunnat, then he will take the Quran Sharif and recite Quran Sharif. or he'll make dhikr of Allah, or he'll engage in dua, or he'll contemplate and think about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will remain silent. So the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pushes the person towards righteousness. Thus, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only becomes easy, but a delight. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not only become easy, but a delight. What prompts a person that after three faraz of Maghrib he read, he could have gone home, no, he'll read two rakat sunnah. Then he read nafil, he read his awabin, he's enjoying himself. He wishes he could just, if he didn't have any other responsibilities, then he wishes that he could just read more and more. What prompts a person after Fajr Salat to remain in the masjid or to sit in the, make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to read Ishraq Salat? What prompts a person to leave his business for a few minutes and read his chash namaz? So all these things is when a person has the true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is either compelled to obey a master because of intense love towards the master, or because that person understands the wisdom behind the master's commands on an intellectual level. The same holds true for the relationship between the servant and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One's obedience to the creator of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is either deep rooted, it's either rooted in deep love. This is what we have been explaining now. It's got deep rooted love for Allah Rabbul Izzat. And that is why he finds that he's obedient to this master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or in intellectual understanding of the Sharia. And the difference between the two is that of night and day. The intellect is handicapped in the spiritual part of the tasawwuf. In tasawwuf, you'll find yourself, you cannot all the time apply your intellect. Because the destination is only reachable on the wings of love. You want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't apply your intellect all the time. There will be times when you cannot apply your intellect. You just move onto the wings of love and reach Allah Rabbul Izzat. Intellect is cunning and therefore can appear in a thousand disguises. Whereas love is pure and simple and therefore does not deceive. Person's intellect can deceive him. It will not appeal to him. He's applying his intellect. And something does not seem, he cannot understand some aspect of Sharia. When he comes to that, he must go onto the wings of love for Allah Rabbul Izzat and ignore what his intellect will tell him. And therefore, the easy route to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the meeting with Allah Rabbul Izzat is to have the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who attains the blessed gift of love for Allah is indeed fortunate. May Allah ta'ala bless all of us with his true ishq and muhabbat. Love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attained, again, in the presence and company of the friends of Allah. And if this is unavailable, then it is attainable through intense remembrance of Allah, dhikrullah. This is such an incredible blessing that it completely changes the heart of whoever is blessed with it, so that the person's life begins to change. And this is the important thing. There has to come a time in our life when we say enough is enough. And we have to make that firm resolution that now I need to start fresh. I need to start a new life, a pure life. The love of his sahabi radiallahu ta'ala, one of the noble sahaba, was a shepherd. As Imam Zulfiqar Sahab narrates the incident, he says, he was a shepherd who would periodically come to Medina in the quest for any new verses that might have been revealed, or new teachings from the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he would come, Ya Rasulullah, anything new I can learn, any Quran verses come down, can you teach me something new? And Rasulullah would inform him accordingly. One day the same sahabi, when he came, he was told of a new verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assumes an oath guaranteeing sustenance and livelihood for all. We Allah takes qasam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for his makhluq and that he is ar-razaq. So Allah had taken a qasam in one verse where Allah says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most certainly he is ar-razaq, dhul quwwati al-mateen, the one who is most powerful, the one who provides to every person. He is ar-razaq. The sahabi appeared annoyed at hearing this and he said, who dared to doubt this? So that my Lord had to swear an oath that he is ar-razaq. Subhanallah. Who could even doubt that Allah is Ar-Razzaq? Did anybody have any doubts regarding that? That my Allah actually had to take an oath and inform us that He is Ar-Razzaq? This was the level of his love. So much of love he had of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he couldn't understand that Allah actually had to take an oath to say that He is most providing. All praise be to Allah, for this is the pinnacle of love. Waking in the night, as I mentioned, a person, when he has the true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it prompts him to making ishraq, chash namaz, giving sadqah, reading Quran, coming early to the masjid, etc. When love enters the heart, a person no longer views ibadat and worship and obedience to Allah ta'ala as a mere obligation, but rather as a gift. He takes it as a ni'mat from Allah, a gift from Allah ta'ala. Therefore, that person derives tremendous pleasure from worship and obedience. As a result, one finds it easy to wake in the night without the need for an alarm clock. For he cherishes each opportunity to worship and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would say in my own words, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an alarm clock for him. To wake him up at night to engage in tahajjud. The internal clock in the heart, the internal clock in the heart becomes sufficient as love wakes him and keeps him awake for long periods of the night. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدَعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَتَمَعًا. Regarding Sahaba, their limbs do forsake their beds of sleep, the while they call on the Lord in fear and hope. So madly in love with Allah Ta'ala, such people remain restless throughout the night and greet the dawn with longing faces. If one were to have walked through the streets of Madinah in the last portion of the night during the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, he would have discovered an entire city alive and illuminated with the blessings of worship. Whether in loud or soft voices, every house would be buzzing with the recital of the Holy Quran like honeybees around the hive. Unfortunately, nowadays, situation is very different. Walking during the same portion of the night through any Muslim city, the same person would encounter only the deathly silence of a graveyard. Sadly, the blessings and glory of late night worship is no longer seen as people remain sound asleep in their warm beds. As Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhuma, the incident regarding when they recited the Quran is very famous. That once Rasulullah s.a.w. entered the masjid, in the last portion of the night, he encounters both Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala praying tahajjud. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu was reciting Quran in soft tones while Sayyidina Umar was reciting it loudly, each being so absorbed in prayer that they were completely oblivious of the other. When both completed this, the recitation, they came to Rasulullah and he asked them, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, why was he reciting softly? So Rasulullah's bosom friend, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, replies, O Messenger of Allah, I was reciting to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, who knows the inner state of all creation, and He can hear all. So I did not feel the urge to recite loudly. Allah was listening to me. And posed the same question regarding his loud recital, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala replied, O Messenger of Allah, I was waking those asleep at this time, and I was driving shaitan away. A Sahabi was reciting the Holy Quran at Tahajjud, and his little child, Yahya radiallahu ta'ala, in his cradle next to the Sahabi. And this house was small. The horse also was tied right very close to the baby's cradle. The Sahabi would become so absorbed in his recitation that he would begin reciting loudly, enjoying recitation. But then in fear that the horse may become disturbed, because each time he recited, he found that the horse became a bit excited and began to pick up its hooves. And in fear that his child may get trampled by the horse, then he would stop. And then the horse would also stop becoming agitated or excited. So he would control himself and lower his tone. The same scenario repeated itself throughout the night. Each time he reads loudly, the horse becomes excited. And then he's scared about his son might get injured. So he stops, he recites softly. The Sahabi would become louder and louder, but again would lower his voice when the horse would get agitated. And then he raised his hand in supplication at daybreak and witnessed a fascinating sight. He was amazed to see that bright lights were shooting up into the sky from directly above him. He was perplexed by this. He goes to Rasulullah SAW. Ya Rasulullah, at night I had seen this, and Rasulullah says that these were angels that descended from the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to listen to your recitation of the Holy Quran. If you had continued your recitation, the people of Medina would have seen those angels with their very eyes. The Sahaba and those like them were people who used to recite Allah's book on earth, and the angels from the heavens would descend to listen to them. Alas, such magnanimous people are not seen today. The followers of Rasulullah, the Sahaba, did everything with unmatched sincerity, which is why they became models for humanity. A Sahabi once wept so profusely in tahajjud that the next morning Rasulullah tells him, your weeping last night even reduced the angels to tears. These are tears of pure love of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Tears of the highest value are those of pure love, a blessing that every Muslim should strive for. As Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu was known as the Qari of this Ummah. He was a great reciter of the Holy Quran. Rasulullah once approached him and said, Allah commands you to recite so that I may listen. In fact, Allah subhanahu, the rewild says that Allah subhanahu has commanded me to tell you to recite. It is لَمْ يَكُلِ الَّذِينَ كَفُرُ. As Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu was astounded and asked whether Allah had referred to him by name. أَوَسَمَّانِ رَبِّي. Has Allah taken my name, Ubay? Tell Ubay to recite? Rasulullah said, yes, Allah specifically named you and said that I should listen. The incredible heights that the Sahaba scaled through, their love defy all imagination and comprehension, such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself would issue them commands to recite. So pure love is a blessing only attainable in the company of the awliya Allah, and it brings the highest pleasures of life to those who attain it. Indeed, there is nothing comparable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting the heart as an abode and filling it with His love and blessing. Lives of the common Muslims. Our lives today are distracted without purpose, having both a love for Allah and love for other things besides Allah. Love for this temporal world has only deluded us. In fact, it has ruined our lives. If someone has a cold due to which his senses are dulled, he will be unable to detect even the strongest perfume. Thus, this poor individual remains oblivious to the lovely scent of the perfume. The black magic of this world has gripped us and our hearts today, just like this cold. And so our hearts remain unaffected by the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we do not even realize our wrong and we remain oblivious to this great blessing. Razm al-Zulfiqar sahab gives an example of people completing the Holy Quran and the effort they would make to recite more and more Quran and how passionately they would sit and read. And we find in our country also, in the past, every home in the morning for that time, you would hear people reciting the Holy Quran. And now you find, you see the television or some other things that's just blaring all the time, and we have no time for the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Acting righteously becomes easy when one starts on the path of tasawuf upon the wings of love, we said. When the seed of love of Allah starts growing in the heart, the seed of love for Allah Ta'ala starts growing in the heart. It grows bigger and bigger. So everything from reciting the Holy Quran to waking up for tahajjud, to telling the truth, speaking the truth, becomes not only easy, but it becomes a delight to the person. As has been stated before, a person can only attain this blessing from remembrance and company of the awliya Allah. Every person should supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg for this tremendous blessing. A person's direction in life changes when love for Allah ta'ala enters his heart. His tongue starts telling the truth. His eyes turn away from haram. His entire life starts conforming to the sharia. Such a person seems ordinary from the outside, but his reality is something much greater. And then he gives a beautiful incident of Hazrat Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi's love for Allah. Hazrat Shibli was a renowned, very interesting story. He was a renowned elder whose life was filled with fascinating events. Before becoming the great Hazrat Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi, he had served as the governor of Nahawand district and went to the king's palace one day when the king summoned all his governors. The king presented all of them with beautiful robes due to a joyous occasion and requested them all to wear the same the following day to an assembly. All the governors gathered the following day for an assembly and discussion. When the discussion was at its, was at its height, with everyone deeply involved, one of the governors tried to overcome an incredible urge to sneeze. Many times you're sitting with people and suddenly you get that urge to sneeze and the person is trying desperately not to sneeze. So exact thing happened. This governor had that incredible urge to sneeze and he tried to succumb this urge but finally sneezed loudly 4 to 5 times when he could not control it any longer. Although such things are beyond one's control, everyone looked at him because the discussion had been disturbed. As he did not have a handkerchief, this governor wiped his nose with the corner of this robe that was given to him by the king. Something the king saw himself doing. Seeing the precious robe he had given as a gift used in this disrespectful fashion, the king became so angry that the governor was ordered out of the palace in disgrace for failing to honor his king. Silence now fell over the gathering. And thereafter the king concluded the gathering and everyone went home. Soon after this event, a palace guard announced that the governor of Nahavind sought an audience with the king and he was allowed in. The governor began saying, "My king, I just want to know if my fellow governor's sneeze was within or beyond his control." The king became irate and said, "I sense the stench of argument in your question. Do not dare to raise such a question again." The governor was not deterred and he continued, "Did you have to punish and humiliate him in such a manner by throwing him out of your palace? Or could a lesser punishment suffice?" King grew angrier and said, "I urge you to desist or face a similar punishment." The governor finally said, "I've understood one thing today, my king. Today you are totally humiliated. Today you totally humiliated the person in front of others and threw him out of your palace because he failed to honor the robe that you had given him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also adorned man with the honorable garb of humanity. And if he fails to honor this and fulfill its rights, then he too will be thrown out of Allah's court on the day of judgment." Saying this, he threw off the robe given by the king and he left the palace. He then came into the service of Hazrat Junayd al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi. And now the same governor became the great Hazrat Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi, who is renowned today as one of the elders of Islam. Hazrat Shibli Rahmatullah was especially blessed with the love of Allah Ta'ala because of the great sacrifice he had made by turning his back on the governorship. Hazrat Shibli Rahmatullah used to carry sweets in his pockets. And upon hearing anyone call out the name of Allah, he would put some sweets into the person's mouth. When asked why he would do this, one day he answered, "If I hear the name of Allah and don't fill that mouth with sweets, then what else should I do?" Hazrat Shibli would often be lost in his deep love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the special relationship he gives his friends. When they have this love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala gives them a special relationship. So those fortunate to sit, as Mawlana Zulfiqar said about i'tikaf, because sitting in i'tikaf, then they are secluded, and all the time then they are engrossed. Now only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's thoughts, remembrance, and then they gain a special ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That after the days of i'tikaf, they actually miss those days of i'tikaf. And they feel so different, because in that time they engage only in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are two valuable lessons to note and take back from gatherings. One is that one should practice the remembrance of Allah and attach oneself to the ulama whenever presented with the opportunity, because it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second of two lessons is to repent sincerely from past sins and to resolve to amend one's ways. So these are the two lessons that we need to make the dhikr of Allah in abundance and to be in the company of the friends of Allah. And the second one is that we should make tawbah and istighfar and make a firm determination that we will now change our life from disobedience to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't know if we stop or should continue, but if we stop here, then we could have mentioned the whole mazmoon again. I think just another few minutes, inshallah. There is reward in both this world and the next. Allah Ta'ala rewards the servant for his deeds, both in this world and the hereafter. Whereas man is lazy and always defers his duties and dues to the next day, Allah Ta'ala is supreme and beyond just deferring all rewards to the hereafter. Dunya, we leave the work and duty for the next day. Come to payment, we pay the person next day or the following day. But look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, therefore, Allah also rewards righteousness in this world, not only in the akhirat. One main reason for Allah ta'ala, so Allah does give a person in this world, but Allah ta'ala gives mainly in the hereafter. Allah hasn't given all the rewards only in the hereafter. Allah also gives the righteous people some reward in this world. Allah gives them peace of mind, contentment. Oh, they find the difficulties. Allah Ta'ala removes the difficulties. Allah gives them such happiness. Allah provides to them rosy and sustenance and many other benefits. But the bulk of the reward will be in the hereafter. One main reason for Allah Ta'ala to reward the righteous in the hereafter is that the immense rewards He wishes to bestow are so grand that they simply cannot be contained in this temporal world, neither in quantity nor in quality. The second reason for reward hereafter is that since this world is finite, any reward given here is also finite, and so doomed to end with the world, Allah Ta'ala wishes some rewards to be everlasting, and thus the reason to award them in the hereafter is that these rewards last forever. So these are two main reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just give all the rewards to the believer here in this world, but Allah keeps a lot of rewards, or the main major part of the rewards in hereafter. The one we said was because that Allah subhanahu, this world is such, it cannot contain the rewards of the hereafter, not in quantity and not in quality even. And the hereafter is such that the rewards are everlasting. Dunya is finite. If you're given rewards here, it comes to an end when dunya comes to an end. But Allah wants you to continue enjoying the benefits of your good deeds, so He gives an everlasting reward. The women of paradise. Salt water would turn sweet if a woman of paradise were to mix her saliva into it. And I think everybody will wake up now on the majlis. Salt water would turn sweet if a woman of paradise were to mix her saliva into it. The sun would be overshadowed if she would just take off her veil to reveal her face. And the dead would rise if she were to talk to them. The world is too temporal and petty a place to be able to contain such vast rewards and treasures. Man might delay payment for lack of funds, but such is never the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has infinite treasures. He will reward both in this world and the hereafter. Today the world is full of people who ask Allah ta'ala for large houses, nice cars. There are very few people who ask for Allah from Allah. And this is what we have to do. We have to ask Allah from Allah. Oh Allah, I'm asking you to give me yourself. Koi mujhse puche, main kya mangta hu? Main khuda se khuda mangta hu. I'm asking Allah, you give me your love, your muhabbat. Ya Allah, I want you. Tu hamara ban ja, hame tera bana le. This is what we hear from mashayikh. Of course, you got to ask Allah for dunya as well. Give me a pious wife and children and house. But our du'as, if we analyze our du'as and listen to ourselves in making du'as, is only contained with asking only for this world. We're not asking Allah Ta'ala for the akhirat. We're not asking Allah Ta'ala for His love. Hazrat Madzub, Khaja Madzub Hasan, Rahmatul Ali, you know the famous couplet he used to mention. Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. He was the Khalifa Hazrat Thani Rahmatul Ali, and he composed this beautiful poem. He recited it to his Shaykh Hazrat Thani Rahmatul Ali, who was overjoyed and said, I will give you 100,000 rupees for this poetry. If I were a man of wealth, every desire have I forsaken. Now come for you alone have I. Sick of the whole world am I. No longer wandering is my soul, for found my love have I. The lovers of Allah have extraordinary love in their hearts, and life would be very colorful if all Muslims would develop the same. If we all have this type of love of Allah Rabbul Izzat. One incident and we'll terminate. Inshallah, we have heard this incident from Hazrat Mawlana Zulfiqar Sahib years ago. Many of you will remember. And this incident short is as follows. Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Ali Johar Rahmatullahi was an extraordinary individual who developed a strong love and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And during the terrible British occupation, he determined that he would wage war with a pen until the Muslims won their freedom from the British tyranny. Thus he journeyed to Britain. You know, they were in India and there was war taking place. So he journeyed to Britain where he wrote editorials for the newspapers highlighting the Muslim plight in his homeland and urged the British to leave India. For this he endured great hardships and was even imprisoned a number of times. But he had made a commitment not to return until the Muslims were free. So whilst in prison, he would often compose poetry. He says, "You may think I have only loss, but everlasting life have I in this world." He says, "You may think I have only loss, but everlasting life have I in the world to come." So this is not a loss, I got an everlasting life. The death that comes in the path of Allah is the sweetest medicine for me. What is Tawheed but that Allah says in the day of judgment, "Estranged with the world with this person for me." It so happened that his young daughter fell fatally ill at home. Doctors gave up hope. Her mother asked if she had any final wishes. And so the daughter said that she would like to see her father for the last time because it had been so long since he had seen them. Father was gone, was imprisoned there in India, and he's far away. And this woman, this daughter, is fatally ill, she's leaving this world. And what's the only arzu? "If only I could see my father's face." The mother advised the daughter to write a letter to Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ali Johar Rahmatul Ali, detailing his daughter's fatal condition and expressing her wish to see her father for the last time. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ali Johar Rahmatul Ali received the letter in England, and as if in reply to this letter, Hazrat Muhammad Ali Johar Rahmatul Ali wrote a few verses on the back of the letter, and in the English translation is, "Helpless am I." He was imprisoned, he could not come out. "Helpless am I, but your Lord certainly is not. Far from you am I, but near to you is He. Far from you am I, but near to you is He, Allah. Of course, your health we desire, we wish that you were cured. But if He desires it not, then we do not either." In other words, now you must make taslim and rida, hand yourself only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decision. "As a father, I wish I could be at your bedside and I could console you and comfort you and do the best I could do. But unfortunately, I am kept far away." And this kept far away was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did all this in his love for Allah Rabbul Izzat. He could not see the zulam and oppression taking place. And he was languishing in the prison. And he gives his daughter who is leaving this world food for thought. That even though I am your father and I wish you're good, and I'm far away, but remember, Allah is close by you. Don't forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn your attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us His true muhabbat and ishq. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. This is a sign of the lovers of Allah, that they have أَشَدُّ حُبَّ. They have more love in their hearts for Allah Rabbul Izzah than anything else in this world. May Allah Ta'ala give us, make us true عاشقين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك.